a good ball played in for Tony Morley. Oh, he missed it!
Good evening, Aston Villa fans, and welcome to the Villa Forever podcast. Please subscribe, make sure to smash the like button, and you can follow me on Spotify, Amazon Music, and Apple Podcasts. Let's spread awareness about Duchenne muscular dystrophy. And this is my last podcast before taking a Christmas. And I've got a great star guest panel lined up. This evening, I'm joined by my special guest, Luke, who is the host of the Not In My Lifetime podcast and a Manchester City fan, doing a great job. And we have Hannah Gowan, who's for the UTV fan channel. We always enjoy having Hannah on the show. She always has good opinions. And we have Jacob Tanswell, who always provided me a good insight. He's an Aston Villa correspondent for The Athletic. And this is a big game on Saturday, the last game before Christmas. And it's a big weekend of sport. This is the match preview, the pre-match talk show, Aston Villa versus Manchester City in the Premier League. It's a 12:30 p.m. kickoff on Saturday. And Unai Emery and Pep Guardiola face each other again. And Aston Villa on the back of a late defeat against Forest. I haven't been at their best. They're against the Manchester City team. They've been in very poor form so far. And they're going through a very difficult spell. Both teams are looking for a reaction. And the last time Aston Villa played Man City at Villa Park, we won 1-0, which was just over a year ago. Great to have you on the show this evening. How are you doing?
Very good, thank you, Chad.
Thank you.
Good, thank you, Chad.
Yeah, well, looking forward to this podcast. So ask you first, Hannah. So what are you expecting from the Manchester City game?
Well, I think this is probably, correct me if I'm wrong, maybe the first time in a decade that we're going to be coming against a Manchester City side that is perhaps more beatable than what we've seen in such a long time. I think both teams having such a tricky start to the season. It's been a really inconsistent Premier League, hasn't it? And I think that kind of means that going into every game now, it's quite hard to predict. I think Villa are sort of toying with their own battles, yeah. You know, trying to figure out our best 11 defensively. Things just are really unsettled, just absolutely gasping for a clean sheet in the Premier League. So I think it's a really hard one to call, actually. I think I'm very glad that we're at home. I think that obviously gives us the advantage, and kind of take away that bad end to the Forest game. We have slightly turned a corner in recent weeks. I think the performances have been slightly better, but we're still, definitely grappling with a leaky defence. And no matter what Manchester City's form is, I think you're always going to be fearful because of the quality they've got on the pitch, the manager involved. You can absolutely never expect anything. So I think it's going to be a really interesting match, actually. I can see goals. I think both teams are scoring and conceding. So it should be an interesting one, but I'm not sure. Yeah, like you say, Chad, it's one I'm necessarily looking forward to at the moment.
I think Man City as well. It's a great time to play them. And also in Man City, you can clearly see as well that they struggle without Rodri. Rodri is their most important player. They're a different team without him. Also, a great contest as well between very good players. And I think manager, for both managers, I have a lot of respect for both of them. And I think tactical battle is going to be interesting as well.
I think it's going to be a really difficult game for both sides, because they both got fragility, and like Hannah said, this is a real struggle in terms of defensively quite porous. Both teams are in a completely different predicament to the game last year in December. You know, probably Villa's best performance since he took over, and Man City went on to win 19 of the next 23 league games after that, and they're in a really strong position. Villa obviously aren't in that headspace, that confidence, that vein of form, and obviously Man City aren't. But you're probably waiting, and I'm sure Luke's probably been waiting for City to click into gear at some point over the last month or so. And you're hoping, as from a Villa perspective, this doesn't happen on the weekend. But both teams, they thrive on being able to control games, controlling every single variable. And right now, they're not being able to. You know, they're conceding a lot of counterattacks, a lot of goals, and that a lot of their attacking players look a little bit leggy or out of form. So it could be a game where there'll be a few punches landed, and I could see it being a 2-2, quite high scoring, quite close as well.
Well, I agree, actually. Yeah, I think as well. Big Guardiola is under pressure, and for Man City standards, they're not up to what they should be doing. And they're on the back of a defeat, a derby day defeat, which Luke, I bet that was hard to take.
That honestly, at the moment, it's just, I'm not even bothered about not winning anything this year. I just want this team to get out of his heads, because right now, I've never seen a team, even under the takeover, a team so out of confidence, so out of sorts. Like, even when we weren't necessarily the top team, we were fighting against United in the first couple of years, there was a spirit in the team that we knew that we were going up there and competing with them. And over years, we got Liverpool, got Chelsea, and that we've been able to have that kind of team as well. This year, I've never seen a team so devoid of confidence in my life. I don't know when that's coming from at the moment, because I'm hearing all this talk in the media from Diaz, Bernardo saying, we know about it's going right now, but we'll turn it around. Like, the fans don't care. Just go on the pitch and show how good you are. Like, at the end of the day, right, you're paid all this money a week. We love you guys. Like, last few years, you've been unbelievable. Like, the Kevin De Bruyne, Erling Haaland, these players have been the best players in the league in the past 2 or 3 years. We're not asking for a league every year. We're asking for a bit of effort and a bit of, like, going for it. You can't win it every year because football's not how it works. Like, the last 4 years have been unbelievable. But at some point, you will lose a league to someone who's better than you 1 year. But the least I expect is a bit of effort. That's what I want to see from the players at the moment.
And Luke, as a Man City fan, I bet you're not used to it, really. Because as a Man City fan, you always expect the winning mentality all the time.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen the team from like mid-table relegation up towards now, so I do know what it's like to be like near the bottom. Obviously, not as much as the older fans do, but I'm a bit young enough to at least remember it before we got into the good times. But looking at the moment, it's just like the winning mentality. Like, people often think that, oh, it's just because it's the trophies that matter most of all. But to us, really, I tell people obviously that I know around me are City fans. We want a team that fights, that at least gives their all for the team. Like, that derby was probably one of the worst games I've ever seen in my life from two teams. Like, if that was a 0-0 draw, no one would have argued that at all, because both teams were terrible. Yeah. I know they won the game United, but they were terrible themselves. But the fact is, we've got a team that we have no, like, this game on Saturday could go either way. Because Villa, I've watched Villa enough to see them. You've been very similar. You start the season off pretty decently, then hit weird wobbly form out of nowhere, like lost a few games and drew a few games. But the thing is with you guys is that you've got a team that at least are still giving their all. Yes, they're not winning every game, but you've still got a team that I'd say more together than ours is right now. And you've got two strikers in Duran and Watkins that I'm worried about, because our midfield is so old. and done. Like, we need Guimaraes. We need someone like, who can go in that midfield and a bit of energy. But like, Kevin De Bruyne is 34 now, but he's still got the ability to sort of get out of nothing. But Gundogan's 34 years old now. He's finished. Like, he's not a terrible player, but he's just not legs anymore for this league. So, if you're a Villa fan, you should, I wouldn't say you'd be overly confident, because this league's unforgiving. At some point, City will turn it around. And it could be this weekend, it could be whatever. But every game should be treated the same anyway. But if I'm a Villa fan, I'm feeling a lot more confident than I'll be as a City fan at the moment.
It's going to be an exciting game. And those games before Christmas, they've always got more of a special feel to it. I think as well in Man City, defensively, they can be exploited. I think it's going to be an open game. I just think from a Villa point of view, it's important we can get the first goal. And I mean, I'm going to the game on Saturday. It's going to be a great atmosphere as well. Tyler, are you looking forward to the game?
I am looking forward to the game. However, I was in the festive spirit last Christmas when we were playing Sheffield United at home, right before, and we drew 1-1, and it was like the most underwhelming pre-Christmas football fixture of all time. So it's either going to go that way, or we look at it as nothing can actually be worse than that. I'm hoping for the latter. I think, the points we touched on here, I think, are all kind of going to accumulate in what hopefully will be an interesting fixture. I think Luke's point about confidence in Man City is quite an interesting one, because I think when you have grown up as a Villa fan, you've obviously watched a lot of dross. And many years of that dross have been during sort of like the City uprising, so to speak. And then if I think of like being a City fan and watching that team, it's almost inconceivable to watch a football team that have been that good consistently now not confident. I think the perspective there is quite interesting. I think with Villa, it's probably not even a confidence thing. I think there's still that definite togetherness. And I think that home atmosphere, like you've said, Chad, is definitely something that plays into that. And I'm hoping that being just before Christmas, that will really lift the spirits. And I think we need it a little bit at the moment. We're just slightly off it, and I just don't quite know what the fix is at the moment for the defence. I think in this game, the midfield is probably going to be that really key part.
I agree.
Again, as Luke's touched on, the slightly ageing team there, I think City's issue has probably been that they haven't really recruited that sort of really young or really sort of like tenacious midfielder or someone that's going to succeed some of their players that have been excellent for the past like 5 years, but sort of becoming their time. I think what Villa do have is a lot of energy when they play the right way. What I've seen similarities in City and Villa this season is sort of when we've both been struggling a lot, watching them on the pitch has been quite lethargic, has been quite, the build-up's been slow. And if you kind of looked back at Emery's team last season when we were at our best, when we beat City in December, and some of those other brilliant results was that we were really quick and we were hot on the ball and we were winning every second ball and we had that intensity. And I think that's sort of what's gone out of these two teams a little bit. And I'm hoping that we can find that from somewhere. And I do sometimes feel like this team really enjoys the big occasions and the big fixtures. We've seen it in the Champions League this season. So maybe Man City, despite the form coming to Villa Park, will be that sort of fire in the belly to prove a point and to get 3 points on the board before Christmas. That would be excellent.
So when watch both managers, they're really fascinating. And maybe you watch them on the touchline as well. Looking forward to seeing that as well. So, Jacob, what do you think should be our game plan on Saturday? How do you approach the game?
I think Hannah's made a really good point in terms of energy, because if you remember, I want to keep going back to the last performance at Villa Park at City, because that's a really good barometer and a good way of showing how to beat Man City and dominate. Unai Emery picked four centre midfielders that day, and that was purely to overload midfield and for energy. And I look at Man City's midfield, and I'm not sure if Luke agreed, but it's like an ageing rock band. They're good in, you know, some songs, some matches, but and they're still great. They've still got those hits, but they're not quite the same. And if you can get the energy and get the legs, you can get Kamara, maybe McGinn, you know, Rodgers at their best, at their, you know, pressing, obviously at Villa Park, where despite all the form, they're still unbeaten in seven. This could be, you know, a third straight league win, which would be the first time since they went on that 15 game, you know, historic unbeaten run last year. So they can get energy in that midfield, and I think they can really press and harry Man City, because I was looking back at the stats from last year, and Man City lost the ball 13 times in their own half, and that was the most ever under Guardiola. I'm not sure if that has changed in the last, you know, 5-6 games, but I think Villa have got a really good opportunity to really hustle and harry Man City, and I'm sure Villa Park will be very loud, even though it is 12:30 kickoff.
And going back to that game and last season, it's 1-0. We completely dominated Man City that day.
Yeah.
And it could have been more. And Boubacar Kamara, I think of this game on Saturday, he's absolutely vital.
Unbelievable player he is, mate. Honestly, I've been watching a lot of they're the one things that I watch a lot, really, because I think mostly because I've actually appreciated like what Emery's done for you guys since obviously joining them. And I think the fact is, like, that midfield that you've got is what we used to have. Like, even if Rodri fit this season, I don't think it still would have been bad, because Rodri can't do all the work. You need midfielders around him that you're young enough as well to carry the ball forward.
Yeah.
And like, we're folding out of form right now. Like, he's been gone since the Euros. Like, he just hasn't recovered at all from how bad a Euros was. Grealish, well, I mean, is he midfield? Is he winning? I don't even know anymore at this point. It's a £100 million experiment that's gone wrong. Well, we should got Messi, but what do I know? and that's the problem. Like, we've experimented too much on certain players when we should have gone for like certain more proven talent. Obviously, Haaland, when we got him for, was a bargain, which Dortmund should never have done in the first place, but we got a lot of a deal out of it. Our business, though, overall has been pretty poor, apart from a few players here and there. And the midfield that you've done is what we need to do, because that's what our midfield should be. Because if we had that midfield you guys have right now, it would be a lot better. Yeah. I'm not saying we were top of the league, but at least second behind Liverpool in the fight. Now, it's not over, because 9 points can easily change into 7 points for a draw, and it gets cut down over time. But when you're seeing your own team the way it is right now, how do you be confident for a title race? Your team can't get out of its rot. Like, one win 11 is probably either worse or as bad as Southampton right now. And I look at the actual form, and Jacob knows as well how bad Saints have been this season. It's the same level of form. It's just like, how can you be challenging for a title if you've got relegation form? Like, we don't have one point, but this is... it's really bad, this.
You know, this season, I think it looks like actually, I think Liverpool have got a good chance now, I think.
Yeah.
Well, actually, so as well, actually, I think Chelsea are definitely the title race as well, Chelsea.
I'd say they're probably one of the only consistent teams, Chelsea. I mean, Liverpool dropped points last week, and Chelsea must be the in-form team in the league right now, which... you wouldn't have thought last year or the season before when they were recruiting every Tom, Dick and Harry from across Europe. But, I mean, something's clicked there. Whereas elsewhere, obviously, it's just not. And I think that's sort of an experiment, like we've touched on with Grealish. Their experiments with sort of signing all sorts has started to pay off. But it's a really interesting league. I'd actually say it's quite a poor standard of Premier League, which is strange to say, but I think there's no real outstanding team, no team that's really solid at the back. I mean, the goals that are going in are ridiculous. So, I mean, it's interesting for the neutral and it might keep the title race interesting, which is kind of good for the league. But in general, I think it's a reflection of the fact that everyone seems off it, whether it's because of back-to-back international tournaments or what, I don't know. But there's something strange this season in the air, I think.
And going back to the game plan, we need to frustrate them. Stop Man City playing. Deep tighting possession. We've got to disrupt them, I think. I think the big thing we need to do, which we didn't do against Forest, take control of the game. I think it's important to be patient. And then you also got Kevin De Bruyne. Don't give him too much space. You know, essentially outside the box. And even in the wide areas. Because that's where they can be creative. And it can make things happen as well. And a big thing we need to do as well. Keep Erling Haaland quiet. That's the obvious thing as well.
Yeah, that's easier said than done, isn't it, Chad? But I think it'll be interesting to see how Villa approach this game, because in recent games, you know, Emery's gone to a bit of a wing-back system, partially through design, but also through fortune in the fact that Villa have got a lot of centre-backs and they've not got any in-form out-and-out winger at the moment. So if you remember last year, you know, Leon Bailey and how good he was in this game, you know, he's been injured, he's been toiling for form. So Villa are... Villa's attack looks a lot different. Obviously, the emergence of John Duran, whether he starts or not, I have my doubts, but he's obviously scored a lot of goals, but he changes how Villa attack as well. So, of course, if you change formation, it's going to change the defensive structure as well. So, defensively, Villa will probably defend in the back five, which is absolutely fine, but at the same time, they've got to make sure, like you say, Chad, that they really take control and they have a bit of impetus and they press high, because against Forest, they were very passive for the whole game. They didn't really press at all. They're quite happy to let Forest have it, where I think if you let Man City control the tempo, especially how they are now, it allows them to get confidence and things like that. So I think it's really important for Villa to press and really just win all their duels all over the pitch.
And for Man City as well, against Man City, I think that Morgan Rodgers making the runs, I don't think as well, another volatile player, I think use John Duran, use his physical strength. I think Duran could cause City a lot of problems.
He will. He will, 100%, because it doesn't matter if Watkins or Duran, because at the moment, like, unless we have players back fitness-wise, I don't know what the hell Pep's going to go with on Saturday, because injuries, we've got players coming back, which I know, obviously, you know, it's that is getting better on that front, but I don't know, I couldn't tell you what the team is going to be, because we've had such a disjointed team the last few weeks, through players, obviously against Forest, we had Akanji and Ake playing, and then it was a much more solid defence, a lot more back to our usual selves. And both of them were injured again. And we'll have to go back to Van Walker and Rico Lewis at full-backs. And look, as much as Cole Walker's been an unbelievable player in the Premier League for a right-back,
yeah,
he's 34 or 35, and he's just, his pace is gone. And at the moment, if I'm generally going against Villa with our current defence, I really hope Stones is fit. Yeah. If Stones is fit, that is, at least got someone who can police defend and sort of limit the attacks that you've got. But the thing, a lot of this comes down to confidence, as I said earlier on. Like, I'm not confident in this team. I need to see proof of this team turning a corner. Before I can say, I'm confident in them again to go and do it. I mean, again, Saturday's a real, like, litmus test. Like, anything can happen. Like, if we do get the win, then obviously that's great. But I need to see a lot more from this team long-term rather than just one-off game on Saturday to prove that this team's actually fighting again. And also, too, is actually going to put their all in to see how far they can go. Because, look, again, no one's actually done yet in terms of the league or anything, but I've got to see so much from this team now to really prove to me that they're actually up for the fight. And if I'm being honest, that's why I think Villa, I think I'd much more deserve a better team right now. And probably, I think that even I've lost to Forest 2-1, you're a much better team than us right now, because you're actually a lot more together.
I think on Saturday, I think your goalkeeper, Edison, I think we could press him out to the other way, we could get success. You do play the ball up for the back of that. I think pressing's important.
Yeah, because obviously at the moment, the thing is with Edison at the moment is that we're not sure who's starting anymore because his attitude's really dropped since summer because he did that move to Saudi, didn't work out, and now we're in a weird spot where we don't know whether he's going to sign a new contract or he's going to go. That's why Ortega's now pushing for a spot now, and I'd say deservedly so because I think he's done pretty well, Ortega. I mean, yes, he actually won many games, but it's not for any fault of his own. He's got a defense in front of him, that's all his confidence. But I the thing is, obviously, if Edison's a start, then obviously, you can press him, obviously, and do what you need to do on that front. But if it's Ortega and goal, that's a different story entirely. Because Ortega isn't that same keeper. He's a shot stopper more than he is a from the back keeper. So I think it does depend on I think tactically, Emery needs to think about one or the other. You can't just think going one basket because if we got Ortega in goal, then the whole plan could go out the window because all of a sudden it could be long balls to Haaland. So it kind of depends on what we'll go with. But you are right, Edison can be got at. I mean, look at the final game, the 3-0. Like, that's how it is right now. Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
And Jacob, have you got any team news for Saturday?
You're asking me on the wrong day, unfortunately, Chad. It's usually Friday that I'd be able to tell you the team, but yeah. I think it would be a similar system and maybe personnel to what you had at Forest. I just think maybe, you know, Mings might come back in for Diego Carlos. Hopefully we see some positive updates on Leon Bailey and Jacob Ramsey as well. Obviously they've been missing for a few weeks as well, so they'll strengthen, but I wouldn't expect a huge change. I think for me, the storyline is probably Joran or Watkins. Watkins didn't start the last game because he's been nursing an injury, but he is fully fit now. He's trained all week, so you'd hope that he'll be able to play. And I always, this is my personal opinion, but I'd rather see John Joran come on with half an hour to go and let Ollie Watkins start.
Did John Joran use the impact, sir? The impact off the bench?
Yes, exactly, and I think that's it suits his characteristics, right? Because he just shoots from anywhere. He's a crash bang wallop type of striker. Where Watkins is probably a little bit more intelligent, obviously a lot more experienced, and he can wear down defenders early on in games.
Yeah, so Luke, so how does it feel being a Man City fan at the moment? And do you think what's going on behind the scenes is affecting the players mentally?
I think it is because, well, look, I don't think Pep's really the issue here because as much as Pep could change his tactically, at the end of the day, these players, the secret players are done. I think some of the younger ones are fine and can long-term change it around. But it's the older one. I think this group of players, obviously everyone's seen them over the last 5 or 6 years, have done some incredible things and feats that even United haven't done. And I don't think I'll ever see him a lot of time ever again. The problem is that when you don't replenish that team over time and change it up with players that obviously are done and need to be moved on when they didn't move on, you get a team of players that just are content and happy just, you know, getting on with it and just sort of, you know, accepting where they are. And a team who wants to win all the time would change that up. And I think at the moment, behind the scenes, I can tell it isn't happy. I've been told it isn't happy. I'm not saying like it's a complete disaster or it can't be fixed, but a lot of players' confidence is gone. A lot of players obviously have suffered obviously a lot with a lot of things, but a lot of personal stuff. I won't go into it. I've heard what's going on, but it's not good. But it's obviously come. It's like all come up together at the worst possible time. And the problem is you can't really sort of, when that happens, it's hard to really sort of get out of that rot. So hopefully what will happen is the players get the win or a win somehow, be it Saturday or next week. They get together and think, right, we've got a win now at least. And then they try and build on it and go on a run. Because obviously, I'm sure we've all seen of their own team, obviously Villa, I'm sure have been there themselves, going on bad runs. You have to find a way out of it. it doesn't matter how good you are as a team. If you go for a bad run, no matter what's going on behind the scenes, you've got to find a way out to get out of that rot. Otherwise, the rot just carries on. Like for us, like, I mean, it's been one win, 11 games, 8 losses, 11 games. That, for a City team, like obviously, pre-takeover, that's probably quite natural for a City team to happen to a City team. But for post-takeover, Pep Guardiola City, that's unheard of. And it's just, it's new territory for us. Obviously, as fans, well, fans obviously recently after the last 20 years or so. But it's also territory for these players who've been used to winning a lot of trophies and that. It's about these players learning from it and taking it on board and pushing themselves to go on and
for that. You can tell. Well, in the dressing room, then the energy is completely changed. I'm looking at Man City at the moment. I think Guardiola will fix it, but something's not clicking.
No, it's not, mate. It's not, and I think, again, I think it's down to the fact that it's a combination of things. One, it's certain players having to step up, and two, players having to come in. I think January will be a busy one for us. I can see, I think obviously Newcastle obviously at the moment have their own PSR stuff at the moment and might have to sell Bruno or Isak. Now, obviously, Bruno for us right now would be ideal because he can play in DM and also 8. Has the energy and physicality of like a Fernandinho kind of player, which what we need right now. It put Bruno in his team right now. I wouldn't say it saves our season, but it's a massive, massive improvement and it gives us a little bit of protection, a defence and a bit of confidence in the team. But the problem is, like, as much as signing players can also do a lot of things, it doesn't always mean things that are instantly solved. Again, as I before, the players have got to get out of their heads and get back to focusing on what they need to do to move forward. That's what we've got to do.
And Hannah, is there anything you'd like to add to that?
I think, I mean, the difference, I would say, between City and Villa at the moment, despite sort of similar seasons. I mean, City are still above us in the league table, aren't they? I don't feel like we've ever really got to the point where sort of alarm bells have really rang in terms of we don't know how we're going to get out of this rot and we don't see where the change is coming from. I think it's almost kind of been that we can see we're leaking goals and there's a little bit of unrest there, but there's still a lot of, I think, trust there. And I don't know if that's just because Unai Emery's got credit in the bank. He's a bit newer in the job. We've had, coming off the back of such a positive last season, so maybe that means that we're slightly less quick to panic. But I think, yeah, at the moment it does feel like we are on the cusp of it clicking. We've seen signs of it. We have had some decent performances recently. I'd say we never really took control of that Forest game, which was probably where we went wrong. But up until the 87th minute, we were going to get that away win. It was sort of, from my perspective, perhaps slightly strange substitutions, you know, taking Kamara off and maybe a bit of naivety that did us in that game. Looking back to last season, I don't think we'd concede late goals like that. So I almost feel like it's fine margins for Villa at the moment. We have, don't get me wrong, had some terrible performances. I think the Spurs game was a bad one and Chelsea as well. So I'm not that delusional, but I do think for the most part, there have still been those signs that it's going to click for Villa at one point and we are going to go on a run. I think some kind of result against City at the weekend would be a massive kickstart for that. We've got a very difficult week of fixtures with Newcastle on Boxing Day and Brighton at the turn of the year. So I think picking up some amount of points at the weekend is quite essential because we absolutely hate going to St James's. So that will inevitably probably ruin Christmas anyway. But yeah, I think the mood around Man City, I think, definitely works for us at the moment because no matter league position, form, the mood around Villa still feels like it's a little bit more optimistic and a bit more positive. So we've got to use that to our advantage.
Because it's all teams, I think, they all go on bad patches. What is the big thing with Villa we need to do? We need to focus. Give it that Forest game. We need to try and see through. Guys, we need to learn from that for us today. And also, going back as well to Man City as well. You can see by the players' body language that they're definitely not themselves. And also, on top of that as well, they've got 115 charges that are hanging over them. So Man City go for a bad situation. And in March, the court case in March, due to like, FFP breaches, between 2010 and 2018. And the biggest punishment, I don't think this is going to happen, but in relegation and points deductions. So, Luke, what do you make of all that?
I'll be honest with you, right? It's very difficult to know anything about it because the thing is, I'm going off media speculation rather than actually what's going on properly in the case. So it's kind of like, for myself, right, obviously, as if your own club was in this situation, you kind of have to trust your own club. That's kind of like what hasn't happened. But like anything, like, I don't know, like, this Premier League itself as well isn't much better anyway than it does anyway. I mean, they're not exactly spring chickens themselves they're you know, perfectly right in what they do sometimes. So it's kind of hard to really sort of decide who's really lying here. But at the end of it, if we get found guilty of this, then we get found guilty of it. I mean, people want to think that I might get upset about it. Look, at the end of the day, right, I support the team. End of the day, right, if the club run a team break rules, that isn't my fault for that. At the end of the day, right, you have to hope people who run your club
are
in their interests.
Yeah, that's fair enough. But also, I don't know, we'll talk about Unai Emery and Pep Guardiola. So what makes them both such great coaches?
Yeah, I think they both got a similar approach quite often. I think when Unai Emery took over at Villa, we did play, I think, differently last season to how we play now, but with the kind of philosophy still stands. They both quite like the defensive setup of having, you know, two fullbacks, but one slightly more progressive than the other. I think Pep's always been very concerned with dominating games, of very possession-based football, playing out from the back. We know that Pep kind of coined a lot of this style of play as soon as he took over Manchester City. And there are quite a few similarities in the way that Villa play under Unai Emery. I think what makes them great managers, despite, you know, maybe let's not look at this season as the perfect example of that, but is probably the way that they tactically adapt to each game. I mean, growing up as a Villa fan, you kind of expected the same sort of team every week with the same formation because you thought that's how my team's set up and that's who we play. But under Unai Emery, we've kind of seen an evolution of that where, you know, the team is quite fluid. Emery, you can kind of see how he does tactically adjust the team depending on opposition. You know, Jacob touched on earlier when we played City last season, kind of really bridging out that midfield to get that control and to put, I just remember that pressure that we put on. I think it was John McGinn that played in a different role and he was just on one of their defenders, excuse my really terrible memory, but he caused them absolute nightmare. And we haven't really seen John McGinn play that role at all, but it's the fact that Emery had identified that as an area that we could get at and it worked so effectively. And I think part of that is that Emery and kind of his staff now like those players that are quite adaptive. So players that are going to be able to play and you know, a holding midfield role, but then can we push them up a little bit? Can they play slightly more further out on the wing? He likes those types of players, utility players that he can sort of put in those different positions. So I think they are great because I think if you look at what greatness is, it's probably the fact that they've both had such great success on a European scale. Obviously, Pep at a much greater level consistently, but for Aston Villa, we probably haven't had a manager like Unai Emery. Definitely not fans of a a certain age.
And they've been the best we've had.
Definitely the best we've had, and sort of the faith, I think, is there. Like I touched on earlier, like the credit in the bank. Anything Unai Emery decides to do at the moment, you kind of, in general, will trust it. You think that's the best decision. You can usually understand the decisions he's making in-game, substitutions, etc. So I think he has a lot of trust from the fan base. So, I mean, he is brilliant. I think he has some work to do with this team. And I think to really be sort of remembered as one of the greats, he will have to win a trophy at Villa. But, I mean, as soon as he does that, I think the statue will be carving itself. But, yeah, it's two brilliant managers. So I do hope it's a good game because it should be on paper.
I mean, Unai Emery, I completely trust him. And we're going to get behind him. There was a crazy thing with fans. But calling for his head already, which I think is ridiculous. But, you know, I completely back him, I do.
Yeah. You have to ignore people on the internet, Chad. That's the main crux to that. Ignore people on the internet that call for managers' heads after every game.
Oh, God, it's terrible. Oh, Jesus.
There was probably people calling Pep to go after two losses.
And honestly, the City fan base, not the older ones when they're going to game, but the ones online, it's a complete war zone right now. For the last 6-7 weeks, I have to get off social media now because there's people just saying whatever, sign this player. Honestly, it's a nightmare.
It's a wise decision, I think.
You're going to ignore the negativity. And going back to them, Emery and Pep, both of them are real characters. In and out in the dressing room. And what I like about them as well, they're always looking to improve and succeed to get better. And what makes them great as well, their attention to detail, the perfectionists.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's one thing about them that they're, you know, it's why I think Emery, like, it doesn't matter where you are in the league, he'll always demand more from his players. And that's probably why the best teams do really well. But obviously, for yourself, you're still obviously a team that's trying to get up and up and being consistent. I think it's Newcastle, I think I find, is that they haven't got a manager who like that, which kept them going and kept them pushing to want to keep up. They've got top four once and kind of fell off, whereas Villa have got a manager that's willing to give his all and sort of demand more for his players, even they're playing really well. And I think that's the beauty of managers who get all these trophies. That's why Emery's won so many Europa League trophies with Sevilla and that, because he demanded a lot from his players, and as a result, he got trophies out of it. Now, I think obviously the Arsenal situation, Arsenal were a mess. So that was like, you can't really excuse that. I think if you give Emery more time at Arsenal, I think he'd have got more trophies for Arsenal overall. But the Arsenal fan base were impatient, and that's their own fault for I've got Arteta now, but that's a whole different, you know, conversation itself. But I think Villa fans, I think, are patient enough because I think that they, as you guys know, that you haven't won anything, obviously, for however long, but it doesn't mean that I think it will change soon. I think you've got the right mentality of the club to want to push on and win. I think the fact that in the Champions League, you're doing so well right now. I mean, obviously, part of the Bruges game, where I think you should have probably got a win that one. Like Bruges are not a bad team.
I think that's well. It really looks like with Emery, we're gonna get top eight.
Definitely.
Which is a massive achievement.
And we're like 22nd. oh well. Playoffs it is then.
Do we pick one or the other? I use it as an example, but even when Man City side, they're winning 3-0. Guardiola is still not happy. He demands some more.
Yeah, he does. Like, and it's why, like, even players like Sterling and that, when we won the FA Cup, we're still getting echoed and talked to about what it was doing wrong. That's why a lot of these players still get better and better, because they're always driven to keep wanting to improve. It's why Foden, before this season, really was getting better, because he was still keyed into what he needed to do to improve. It's why he obviously became such a talented player that he is. Obviously right now is a bit of a hit of form, but I think he'll be right eventually. But it's why the best players that Pep's had have got better and better under him, because he's demanded more from them to find more and get more percentage out of them. I think Emery's sort of a very, very similar manager, where I think he'll want to get the best out of his players. Now, obviously, sometimes quality will come into play. Sometimes you need better players in certain positions to want to get better and obviously challenge for even more bigger trophies. But when you've got the squad behind you and a team that's willing to fight for you, then you can do anything, obviously. And that's kind of what I think Villa are in a situation where, like, they're getting a better team obviously every year. Now, obviously, you can get more players here and there, maybe certain positions, but you are really kicking on to be a challenger. I wouldn't say I think a title talk's more of a bit away yet. I think you need a couple more players here and there, but I think if the club back Emery, that's what you've got to remember, that the club back Emery with the funds he needs to get the players he wants to get in to improve his team. I think striker-wise, you're okay. I think maybe more defensively, maybe get a couple players here and there to maybe boost a little bit more, but I think it's a young team as well. It's getting better and better, and I think you've got every opportunity to kick on, and I think that's probably where I think you had the right manager as well to get there as well.
I mean, Emery and Pep Guardiola, they're both like a tie stuff success. And if you look at both of them, they won trophies in their career. And you look at their personality as well. They're very humble. And they're not going to try to annoy. They never make excuses. Especially in their interviews.
I was going to say, that's one of my favourite things about having Unai Emery as a manager, the way he deals with any media or any kind of any time you hear him talking about his team, the club, he's so calm, he's so humble. I think he says it himself, I think, about never being too high, never being too low. But what's always consistent is his respect for the club, opposition. He's never irate, and I think that's something that kind of brings that calming nature, or should do, to the fan base, because he's just, he's a very classy bloke. And I think in general, Pep Guardiola is also a humble bloke, but I think he also can get a little bit more aggy than Unai, I would say.
Yeah, I think the only time you've ever seen Emery really have a go at referees is probably against Forest, actually. No one actually asked him about the penalty. My fault. I should have forgot. And before he left, he actually brought up himself. He was that angry about it. Normally, he's very patient and very forgiving of refereeing decisions of VAR, but that time he let it slip. But like you say, usually he's absolutely very respectful, very humble. Very well-mannered man. And although Pep, he comes from a good place, you can see visibly there are some more marks, and he's a little bit more choice with his words.
Yeah. With what Arnie Slot, the Liverpool manager, you don't really see him lose his head. He seems very calm.
Easy to do that when you keep winning, though, isn't it?
Yeah. I'll get to the stats. So we're gonna look at Unai and Pep's record against each other. Let's just get it on the screen. So obviously you can see Pep Guardiola's got a stronger record, but as well you can see as well that the tide is slightly turning. Especially the win percentage. The league of 50%, 80% Premiership, Copa del Rey 50%, and overall 66.66%. Then we've got Emery win percentage, 0 in La Liga, Premiership 20%, 0% in Copa del Rey, and overall, 26.66%. So, Jacob, what do you make of these stats?
Well, the last time City came to Villa Park, Emery was actually asked about his pretty poor record, and he jokes about how he was really quite struggled really to detect Pep Guardiola. So he said he especially struggled over in La Liga, because obviously those Barcelona teams were fantastic, and you know they were introducing a style of play that had never really been seen before. But Emery, there's a feeling with Emery internally that he really thrives when he's up against the best managers, and he considers himself obviously among those, but people close to him think that only Guardiola can be seen as better than Unai in terms of his achievements and his overall wealth of knowledge in the game. So he sees Guardiola as his best. He has deep respect for him. But I do feel that these type of games, especially recently, yeah, do bring the best out of Emery. And, you know, the defeat that I suffered at the Etihad last year, I think really Emery would have gone a little bit stronger, but they had mitigating circumstances. They're in the middle of a horrible fixture list, so they rested a lot of players. But that 1-0 win is the one that Emery will hold up as the template, and I think he'll look to replicate it.
Think of that 1-0 win. That show that was a turning point as well. And I think in the Premier League, it's very different to La Liga as well. In different leagues.
Absolutely.
Okay, so Hannah, I'm going to ask you the next question. So realistically, is finishing the top four going to be a very difficult task now?
I think it will be a very difficult task. I thought that last season, but I think by this time last year, we were sort of really seeing the best of this Aston Villa side under Unai Emery. So it started to feel a little bit more palpable. And at that point, again, we were in a league with a very poor Chelsea, a poor United. So the competition for those sort of top six spots was slightly different. I think this season, you know that Liverpool, Arsenal and probably Manchester City are going to take those top three. I'd be surprised if City don't turn it around or, you know, do something to at least qualify for a Champions League spot. But I think that fourth position, which last year we were able to eke into, will be really difficult because of Chelsea. I think Chelsea, you could kind of see it brewing last season that there were signs that they were going to kick on, and we're seeing that come into fruition now. So I do think it'll be hard to pick them to the post just based on this season so far. They have been more consistent. I think they're probably, even though not massively strong defensively, I think what they are good at is scoring goals. And I think Villa sometimes are struggling to convert. So top four, I think, will be tricky, but that doesn't mean that all the European spots aren't up for grabs. And the one thing about this Premier League is that it is really tight at the moment. We're seeing exactly, which, like I said earlier, can be seen as a good thing. I think when you're in it and you want your team to be doing well, unpredictable is quite nerve-wracking. But in general, it is an unpredictable league. And I think each week we're seeing a lot of movement. 3 points can send you up a considerable number of places. You know, last week, if we had hung on against Forest, the what-ifs haunt you, but you know we would have been sitting in a really lovely position going into this game, and even now I think we might be around seventh. I think seventh will still again be European football come the end of the season. So I think for Unai Emery and this team, it will just be qualifying for Europe again, whatever competition that is. Let's see, but back-to-back European competition across 3 seasons would be incredible. And let's see how far we can go in the Champions League. I think that's sort of that outlier at the moment, is that Villa have been able to perform really well in Europe this season. So let's see how far we can get there. But top four, I think, will be a challenge. But like we've touched on, Unai Emery loves a challenge. So what's the saying? Do you want to bet against us? Let's see.
I like it, Heather. Also, the Premier League title, if you look at it at the moment, it's very congested. So anything can still happen. And you've got Nottingham Forest. They're doing well with Nuno at the moment. Also got Nuno. Then you got even the likes of other teams will come into it. I mean, even Bournemouth, What a great time I have been. They're in the top six as well. Do you get a lot of times, a lot of teams in there?
Yeah, it's very
competitive this year, isn't it? Like, it's, well, problem is though, it's, I don't think I've ever seen a league so close together. Like, you know, Liverpool off top, once everyone away with it, really. I mean, I'm not going to, but they kind of sort of if it seems to be us, slowing down a bit, and it's, I reckon by New Year it'll be a completely different table again because it's so close together. Like, if we lose to you guys on Saturday, we can go ninth. That's how it can change. And that's what I mean. And that's why I'm saying these players have got to wake up. Because the longer you keep messing about and being sorry for yourselves, the longer it's going to take for us to get back into it again. Because we've got all this work to do. So for us, Saturday, if it's a 1-0 win, horrible, don't deserve it win, I'm taking it. Because these players need something to go off. I don't care if we lose our cheeks afterwards. I need a 1-0 win. These players wake up. So, three points.
You get a win.
A few
wins. Then you're right up there again.
Exactly. So, you need to win a game. Win a game. That's what I want.
Hopefully not this weekend, though.
No, hopefully not.
Please.
Yeah, I think in the festive period, a lot of fixtures coming up. I personally think this season, if we can get at least top six, that's personally what I like. Or top seven, minimum. We need to finish in Europe, season and season out. That's all I ask from Villa, I think.
Yeah.
And maybe like go for the FA Cup. Maybe a trophy, maybe.
FA Cup would be lovely. I'd love to see us win something. Never happened in my lifetime.
Need to win a game first in the FA Cup or any cup competition under Emery.
Getting past the fourth round would be excellent, yeah.
We've got West Ham. So we've got a good draw for the third round, I think. It depends who we get drawn against. In the other round,
I think it also depends on what fixtures we've got around it, because I think it's very clear that Unai Emery is always going to prioritize Premier League and Champions League. So,
well, I mean, who knows? I mean, you dare to dream, win the Champions League.
Never know. I've seen winner things football. Right now, it's open to Champions League. Every chance.
Yeah. I mean, we got the best manager as well. You know, Emery, I mean, for him to do it. Not famous trophy with 182.
Yeah, I think the thing is, like, even though Real Madrid have, as I said, the favourites, the thing is, even they haven't been perfect themselves recently. Like, that, like, all the favourites so far, I'd say, aren't really acting as favourites right now. They're being very off. And if you're a team like Villa, you've got to take your chances when you get them. But there's no better opportunity to go far in this competition because it's a new format. So everyone's still trying to adjust to what points you need in certain situations. Yep. I think, obviously, one game at a time. So no matter who you are, one game at a time, because you can't predict where you'll be in months' time. Like, before you know, you're like second in months' time. Yep. But it isn't likely, but that's how football is. So you can't predict it. You just got to take a game at a time and see where you are. That's what I always do anyway.
Well, Hannah, we can come back to the final talking point. The last one that I've got. So, would you have Jack Grealish back at Aston Villa in the future?
I was wondering if this was going to come up. Interesting. I was talking with some of my fan channel colleagues the other day about this. And I think it's really interesting because, I mean, look at Grealish now. He is nearly 30, isn't he? He's got to be 29. So he's at that point in his career now where who is going to spend mega bucks on someone who is turning 30 and not playing week in, week out. I don't think he's scored in, is it like a year or something?
Well, something like that, yeah.
So he's not an attractive asset right now, I would say, if you're looking at it from like a broader football perspective. I think he will end up at the club in some capacity at some point. I don't think now would be the time. I don't think Villa would afford.
Maybe at the end of his career.
I think, if anything, yeah, he would retire at Villa or do something like Ashley Young did. Personally, I think that seems like something he would like to do. He clearly still has strong affinity for the club and always will. I think his next move will be interesting. I do think City will need to sell at some point in the next two windows in order to buy players. We know it's so tight at the moment with PSR rules. So yeah, I think he may have one or two moves in his locker before he ends up back at Villa, but I can see it happening one day. And personally, I would welcome him back fondly.
The thing is, at the moment, I think you look at Grealish coming to Villa. Realistically, he's not going to take a wage cut. His wages are very expensive.
Yeah, we can't afford that at the minute.
If you go back a few years ago to that Jack Grealish sale, it was very important to Villa. Can you imagine if we did do that sale, our PSR problems would have been through the roof?
Even worse.
Yeah, definitely. So with Jack Grealish, I think the big thing, we miss his creativity. The other thing is impact. With Villa, he always changed games. And he was a fan's favourite. And he always gave the fans a lift.
Yeah, it's a player like Grealish, you know, being a boyhood fan and sort of the way he came through the academy, I think it's very hard to replicate that. And obviously we haven't been able to ever since. Don't think Manchester City fans will have really appreciated the true Jack Grealish at his best. That was our privilege to have that. And it will be very difficult to replicate at the time, just because, like, even if we had another player like Grealish, it's just not the same. He was, you know, the one of our own element to Grealish. It was a romantic period, one that I think ended sort of bittersweet. The money was the sweet part. I think we really needed those finances at the time. But yeah, I think it was sad to see him go. But ultimately, I think Villa needed to step away from being a one-man team. We were very much reliant on Grealish.
Well, that's the good thing.
First season back. So I think
we're not a one-man team.
Yeah.
I mean, Jack Grealish as well. It's a real shame that they didn't get to play Champions League football with Villa, which is a shame, really. My opinion, though, Jack Grealish will always be a Villa legend. And the Villa fans, most of them, appreciated what he did.
I just think with Jack, for me, right, I mean, when he signed the club, I was very excited just to have him at City, because I've watched him at Villa. I knew he was a fantastic player. But the problem is, Pep's style of play and how he wants wingers to play, it doesn't suit Jack at all. Leroy Sané and Sterling and Mahrez are good because they had the pace and the ability to get down the wing, cut inside, and score goals. I mean, Jack does score goals, but even for Villa, it wasn't like loads of goals. It was like the old screamer here and there, or, you know, it wouldn't say it was like consistent output. But with us, it's not he's not the main man anymore. And with City, there's only really two main men in the team, Haaland and De Bruyne, because they're that level of players. The problem is, I think Jack came into his team, and I think, don't get me wrong, right, to get that number 10 shirt as well from Aguero, which is a massive number to take anyway, as it is. Yeah. Like 16 was big. I was going to Rodri. it's a huge number to take, and I'm not saying he hasn't handled it well. I think he's done his best for what he can do, but yeah. I just don't think he's the right winger for us. I think he's much better for someone like a Villa or someone who's actually going to use him properly in a setup that suits him. Because I think he's a terrific player. If he leaves, I'll be glad he's gone, because I think it could have worked out a lot better if Pep used him properly, where he's more useful.
But Man City as well. You don't really saw the best version of Jack Grealish. Nowhere near. I liked as well. He's very good, Jack Grealish. In those 1v1 situations.
Yeah, he's good at that. I mean, I've noticed it and watched him, wasn't it? And I can see he's very good at that. But I just think because of the way Pep wants the ball constantly rotating, passing, passing, passing. So sometimes I wonder whether or not like it's too much passing. It's just into blind alleys where it's just unnecessary. It's like this season, a lot of passing but going nowhere, which is why a lot of teams are beating us this year, because they don't need to actually part of us anymore, because they know that what we're going to do. I'm into the weekend with our defence. It's just that I have to run through our defence. Obviously, a good counter-attack and you throw on goal. I think we haven't got that luxury now to have a midfield and a defence that's reliable, so that Jack can sort of go on that and go for it. And don't get me wrong, I do wish he actually went for it more himself, actually tried to have shots more and shoot more. I think he isn't a bad shooter of the ball at all, but it's because how we are, how Pep is, in terms of like constantly rotating and rotating the ball. It's a shame, because I wish players shot more in our team, because if we actually shot more, managed to score more goals out of it. It sounds very simple, but it's the way Pep is, and that's how Pep always will be.
Well, we had a great chat. So one more thing, guys. We're going to go score predictions. So I'll start with Hannah first.
I'm sticking with my plenty of goals. I think I'm going to go for a 2-2.
Yeah. What about you, Luke?
2-1, Villa. I've got to see some major improvement and some actual bollocks from this team if I'm predicting us winning any games. Because it sounds like I'm being negative, but when you watch what I've seen from this team recently, I can't be confident until I see a reason to be confident in this team. And I think Villa are at home. You've got home advantage. You've got a better team in terms of structure right now. A team that actually, like, is it perfect? No. But again, you have to be perfect right now. Like, look at Palace. Got a draw of us 2-0. And obviously, done very well themselves. I just think Villa are much better set up to beat us. And I think Villa will win 2-1.
I'll go 1-0. Villa. I know I said high scoring, but for just the purposes of changing score, because I was going to go 2-1, I'll go 1-0 Villa. One goal margin.
Well, I like it. Well, I'll give you mine. 2-1 Villa. I'm going to be positive.
There we go. All four in favour of Villa.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, well, I really enjoyed that show.
Thank you.
It was a nice way to finish off before Christmas. So thank you everyone for watching. If you enjoyed this podcast, please remember to make sure to subscribe if you haven't. Make sure to hit the like button on this video. Give it a share. And make sure to leave us a good review on our audio platforms. Also, let me know your thoughts in the comment section. And thank you so much, Luke, Hannah, and Jacob, for your time. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year, guys. Going to wrap up this episode with Villa Forever. Always Villa Forever. And up the Villa.